If you listened to my weekly word last week, you'll remember I read to you how I felt, the emotions, the thoughts that I experienced as I watched the live coverage of 9/11. Every week I ask the Lord what He wants me to say to you, and last week I really struggled when I felt He wanted me to read to you the words I'd written 17 years ago. Sometimes I wonder, are these my thoughts or are they yours, Lord? But my prayer is always Psalm 19:14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This past week, the Lord has been so sweet to confirm through your text and messages that I did hear Him correctly. If you remember, I closed the call last week telling you that I knew my life would never be the same after 9/11, that I knew more than ever before that I wanted my life to make a difference, but that I had no idea what that would look like. Well, here it is, 17 years after I wrote those words, and I still have the same desire. I'm still wanting my life to make a difference. But Christ has taught me that I don't need to focus on the difference that I'm making. I just need to focus on Him, on what He tells me to do in His Word, in my prayers with Him and through others. That I don't need to spend time and energy trying to figure out His will for my life, since He has clearly stated in His Word that His will for me and for you and everyone who loves Him is simply to obey Him. He says in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And then He fills the Bible with His teachings. So here we are, post 9/11. Wikipedia defines post 9/11 as the time after the September the 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, characterized by heightened suspicion of non-Americans in the United States, increased government efforts to address terrorism, and a more aggressive American foreign policy. Sadly, these things haven't created the outcome they were designed for. Americans don't feel safer. We aren't living in a time of peace. It seems as if our country is becoming more polarized every day, gradually being filled more and more with a spirit of anger and hate, daily feedings of lives and half-truths. The unity, the courage and bravery, the prayers, our churches filled with people worshiping God, all of the things that our nation experienced in the days immediately following 9/11, they seem to have disappeared. But as followers of Jesus Christ, in this world that seems to grow darker every day, we can be filled with the excitement and joy and hope of His imminent return. And we can all make a difference as we're waiting. I think you'll agree with me that in all probability, none of us will make the difference, the kind of difference in this world that Billy Graham made. But we can all make the kind of difference that his teenage friend made. The friend who talked 15-year-old Billy Graham into attending a revival. Mordecai Ham, one of the greatest old evangelists, he was holding a revival in Billy's hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina. Billy's parents had been trying to get him to go with them, but he refused. He didn't care about hearing about Jesus. His hero was Babe Ruth, and his goal in life was to be a professional baseball player. Mordecai Ham was a big, aggressive, hellfire and brimstone preacher who called sin, sin. And he had jumped on a group of teenagers who were spending their lunch hour in a house across from the school, enjoying what he called pleasures other than eating. And the rumor was that these kids were going to show up that night at the revival and hold a demonstration against him. This young teenage friend of Billy's told him about this and asked him one more time to go with him to hear this preacher. He knew Billy liked a good fight, and he threw in the offer that he could drive his old vegetable truck. Billy went, Billy accepted Christ. Billy has led millions into the kingdom through his preaching of the gospel. I'll never do that, but I can do what Billy's friend did. I can continue asking my friends to come hear my preacher. I researched and researched, but nowhere could I find this boy's name. But you know what? God knows it, and that's what counts. There's another person I know whose life has impacted the world in a way that I will never be able to do. I think you'll agree with me that you and I are probably not going to start a company with $5,000, nine women, and see it become worth billions with millions of salespeople all over the world. I'm not going to be another Mary Kay Ash, but I can be a Lula Vimber Hastings Wagner. I can speak encouragement into someone who may become another Mary Kay, just as Mary Kay's mother spoke encouragement into her as a little seven-year-old girl. A little girl who was not only taking care of all the household duties, but also caring and cooking for her invalid father. And when she didn't know how to do something, she'd call her mother, who worked long hours in a restaurant to support the family. And her mother would tell her how to do it. And then Mary Kay said she would always say, "Mary Kay, you can do it. You can do it." And those have been the words that Mary Kay used to encourage the lives that she spoke into, and the same words that are still being spoken into lives all over the world today, helping to give women the courage to become all God created them to be. I researched Lula Vimber Hastings Wagner. All I could find were birth, death, marriage, children, siblings, where she was born, where she was buried. That's just about all the world knows about her. But God knows all about her. I'll never be a Mary Kay Ash, but I can be a Lula Vimber Hastings Wagner. I can speak words of encouragement into your lives. And my prayer is that today my words have encouraged you, that they've helped you to see, as the Lord has shown me, that our lives matter, that He does want to use us to make a difference, right where we are, shining with the brightness of His light in this dark world, showing others the joy and the peace that can be theirs in spite of living in this post 9/11 world. Love you. Bye.